So we are in the book of James. We made it to the end of the book of James. Last time we started out on verse 19, and we are going to go all the way to the verse 27. As we looked at last time, once again, I just want to remind you that the very first thing that James teaches us in the book when it comes to our walk, our faith in Christ, is how we deal with trials, how we respond to the trials. Then we looked at how we respond to temptation. That's what we learned in the second part of the book of James. And last week, as we started to look at verse 19 onward, it's a third test, and it talks to us about how we respond to the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that is our foundation. And as we looked at last time, what I talked to you about is what is our response to the Word of God. How do we receive this word? When we receive the word, what is our response? And we talked about how we are to be slow to speak. We should be eager to receive the word, but slow to speak, and even slower to wrath. Today, what we are going to look at is our reaction to the word of God. Our reaction to the word of God. And I'm going to do this a little bit differently today. I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I do want to thank you for spending some of your Mother's Day this time with us in the Word of God. So in 2 Chronicles 34, and I want to pick up at verse 14, and I'm going to be jumping around a little bit. This is an account of King Josiah. He was only 8 years old. He was one of the good kings in Judah, and he decided to kind of clean up the temple, fix the temple up. And in verse 14, this is what we read. It says, "Now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses." So they are cleaning up the temple. They are doing whatever needs to do. If you read this chapter, it's a wonderful chapter. As they are cleaning up, Hilkiah, who was in charge of doing, who was the priest and he was overlooking this, he found the book of the law in the temple. And you see, that's the irony, and that's not our teaching today, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but it's very interesting, isn't it? It's the law of the Lord was lost in the house of the Lord. Parallel to what is happening in our churches today. Then as you go on to read verse 15 all the way up to verse 17, it talks about this word of God. It was given to a man named Shaphan, who carried the book to the king. And look what happens in verse 18. In verse 18, it says, "The Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king." And then verse 19, it says, "Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes." You see, this is the response to hearing the word of the Lord. This is his reaction. When he heard the law of the Lord, he immediately went into repentance. Keep that in mind as we continue reading. Look at verse 21. It says over there, it says, "So the king, after repenting, he speaks to the Shaphan, and he says, 'Go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book.'" King understood that we have failed in what we were to do, what we were commanded to do, what God told Moses to do. He understood that. So he sought out. He sought out people who would advise him on what to do, what would be the next step. As you continue to read further, which I am not going to do, you know, they go to one of the prophetess, Huldah, and she tells Shaphan what are the consequences of this disobedience. It continues on, and then I will pick it up all the way at verse 31. And over there it says, and this is the prophetess telling king, you know, he says that the king stood in the place and made a covenant before the Lord. This is after the prophetess has said that the king will not face the consequences because he repented. Because his heart was true toward the Lord, how he reacted to the word, he is going to be spared. And so in turn, in verse 21, then the king stood in the place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. You see, there was a decision made on that day. The king understood, we have failed, but from this point on, I am going to keep the commandments. I am going to walk according to the law. I am going to be a changed man, right? What we, in our today's language, he was born again. He was going to walk with God. That was that's a decision that he made. And look at what's the last verse in that chapter, verse 33. It says, thus Josiah removed all the abomination from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. Right, you see an action. You see an action. He decides to do something. Very quickly, if I can take you to the book of Nehemiah, I'm going to show you a similar thing. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, it says over there, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Lord had commanded Israel. So here, Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah is the captives who have come back from the Babylon. The Jerusalem is in complete ruins. There is no wall, right? That was Nehemiah's job, was to rebuild the wall. And there, Ezra the priest reads the law. And so, when you look at verse 7, look what it says at the end of verse 7. It says, the word gives you a whole bunch of name, and it says, these people help the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. You see, there was a Bible study all the way back going to where Nehemiah was alive, okay? There has always been Bible study. There, sometimes we do need a little help to understand what is being said. And these people received the law. And look at verse 9, and it says, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levite who taught the people, said to all the people, the day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept that when they heard the words of the law. What does that speak to us of? That speaks to us of a repentance. When they heard the law, right? This is how when they received the law, right? This is how they reacted. This is how they reacted. There was a repentance. You go on to chapter 9. And over there, what you will see is, again, they are, because they have confessed, because they have repented, look what they are doing. It says, now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with the dust on their heads. then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves. Keep that in mind as we come to the end of that end of this Bible study. It says, then those of Israel lineage separated themselves from all foreigners. Then they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord, their God, for 1/4 of the day, and for the another 1/4, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. You see how they received the word. You see their reaction to the word. And look, one last thing I'm going to show you from the book of Nehemiah is chapter 10, verse 28. Look what they do there. Okay, it says, now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the Nethinim, and all those who had separated themselves from the people of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone who had a knowledge and understanding, these joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord, Lord our Lord, and his ordinances and his statutes. What does that speak of? They made a covenant, right? There was a repentance, there was a worship, there was a celebration. And then now what we see is they make an oath, they make a covenant that we are going to walk in the ways of the Lord. How the word tells us to walk. Do you see where I'm going with this? That the word requires, how you receive the word requires a reaction, and how you react to the word, it is so important important. How we receive it, and what are we going to do with it? When the word penetrates the heart, right? As the scripture says, the word does what it's intended to do in your heart. And a changed life comes when we obey the word of God. Obey the word of God. It's not just hearing. It requires a reaction. What are you going to do about it when you hear this word? And with that introduction, now, turn with me to the book of James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, 22. What we saw earlier is how, with what kind of a heart we are to receive. When we looked at verse 19, verse 20, right? It talked to us about receive the word with submission. Then verse 21, what we looked at is we are to receive the word with purity. Now what we are going to look at is receive the word with humility. I hope you are with me here, and I have lost my place here, and I'm in James 2. But James chapter 1, verse 22, it says over there, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Deceiving yourselves. What does that word? That word deceiving, if you look at it in an original Greek language, is literally means that you have come face to face with the truth, and instead of following the truth, you kind of try to reason your way out of it. You are almost arguing with self to go the other way, although you know what the truth is. In other words, what you are trying to do is you are trying to make excuses. You're trying to make excuses for yourself. Okay, the word hearer here also in the original language, if you look at it, it means to audit something. You are an auditor. What does an auditor do? They come and look, and they don't really do any real work. They just kind of see and critique what is happening, right? You have a lot of auditors in the church. They come, they don't want to change themselves. They just want to hear, hey, this can be done differently, this can be done differently, this, you know, they have all these suggestions, right? There are a lot of members in the suggestion committees. But as I build up my case from the Old Testament, the hearing of the word requires changing of the life. As we looked at verse 18, that we are born again. Now we are a new creature. That requires that you are not be the only hearer of the word, but you have to be a doer. Hearing doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything whatsoever. And to illustrate his point, he gives us a wonderful, wonderful illustration here. In verse 23, it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was." Why is he talking about a mirror? You know, mirror plays an important part in our life, right? All of us, especially the ladies, you like to check yourself in the mirror, make sure every hair strand is at a proper place. Sometimes you are doing stuff. You're putting yourself together to make us think of something other than what you are, you know, and if you are in a rush, if you look at something and you miss, you know, and you forget about it. You forget until somebody tells you. Until somebody tells you, hey, listen, you need to fix this, or something is here. Sometimes you forget to look at yourself in a mirror, and you're like, okay, I didn't comb my hair, or I didn't fix my tie, and you are in a rush, you get to work, and until somebody brings it to your attention, you don't know, you are walking around looking like that. Here, it's not talking to us about a physical appearance. What it is talking to us about is as a word of God being a mirror to our spiritual life. And so what it says is, if you are just the hearer of the word and not a doer, you are a person like a person who looks in the mirror. He sees what, or she sees what needs to be fixed. You see that, okay, I got some spinach in my teeth, but instead of removing that spinach, you just walk away and go about your day. And what James is telling us here is, when you come to the word, and if you don't have a proper reaction to that word, the word has exposed something in you. Word is telling you that you need to change this. But instead of fixing it, you walk away without doing anything. And you'll go on to live your life however you please to do. And so he says, "For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." You see, when we looked at Second Chronicles, and when the law was read to the king, he had a choice to make at that point. Yeah, this is great, but I'm a king. We are doing what we need to do. We are doing wonderful work in the temple. Let's just carry on. Let's preserve the book for the next generation. Or do what he did, which was he repented. He took those words to heart. How is your reaction to the word of God? When you are at a Bible study like this, or you are listening to something, even in your own time, when you are reading a devotion, when you are listening to your pastor speak, and there is something that touches your heart. When God convicts you of something, do you act on it? Or are you like a person in verse 24, "For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was." See, this is these words that we study, these words that we read, they are life-changing, life-transforming words. Right? That's what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "Be a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the word." These words have power. These are living words, but they can only do that if we surrender to it. If we surrender to it, if we allow God to do what he needs to do in our heart. We are active participant in what takes place. We are active participant. Go and read 2 Peter chapter 1 and what he talks about over there. We have to let God do the work that needs to be done. Carve out those things, get rid of those things that hinder us in our walk with Jesus. And look at it in verse 25, it gives us a wonderful example, but it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see, when we understand the liberty, the freedom that we have in the Word, what we have, the blessings that we have in the Word, when we understand it, when we do what it asks us to do, when we live according to the Word, we are blessed. It says, this one will be blessed in what he does. So here are two sides, right? Here are two sides. Are you going to receive the Word? How are you, and when you react to the Word, how are you going to react? How are you going to react? Are you going to be a doer, or are you going to be just the hearer? There are people sitting in churches for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, all their life they are sitting, they are singing the hymn, they are listening to the messages, and yet there is no change in their life. There is no change in their life. And we need to be careful that we do not fall into that category. Right? We look into the mirror. Why do we look into the mirror? So see how we look. And in the same way, we should look into the Word to see what our life looks like. You know, there are three things that we see. There are people who merely glance at themselves when they look at the Word of God. They do not carefully study themselves as they read the Word of God. You know, so many times we read the Word and we examine the Word. Instead, brothers and sisters, what we need to do is let the Word read us. Let the Word examine us. Don't just read the, I have said many times that we should read the scripture or try to do the Bible in a year or spend the time in the scripture. But don't do it ritualistically. Just don't do it. Hey, I gotta read this one chapter, or I gotta read these two chapters, whatever the case might be. Pay attention to what you are reading. Let that Word read you. Let that Word read you. Okay. The thing that we have to remember, okay, the second thing we have to remember is when we come into the presence of God, there should be a reverence. Think about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Woe unto me, right? He falls down. He cries out, woe unto me. Peter says, depart from me. When we come in the presence of God, when we come and we come face to face with some truth, a conviction in the Word of God, these are the reaction we should have. Oh, woe unto me. I am not following this. We have to be mindful of these things, right? And when we fail to obey what the Word tells us to do, that's what it means by just hearing. How much time is wasted in so many congregations, so many churches, in committee meetings, because all that happens is talk. There are a lot of decisions are made. Hey, we want to evangelize. We want to do this. We want to grow. We want to, we want to grow our Sunday school. We want to do this for the orphans, and we want to do this for the widows, and we want to do this, that. And you know how many of those things get done? Not even a 10% of those things get done, because talk is cheap. Are you going to be a doer of the Word, or are you going to be the hearer of the Word? Joshua chapter 1, all of us know verse 9, be courageous and so forth. Let me read verse 8 for you Okay, verse 8 is a wonderful word, and we need to remember this verse. It's Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." When will he have a prosperous way? And when will he have a good success? When he remembers to observe it. Reading the law is not going to help. Just hearing, you know, Bible studies and sermons is not going to help. You may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So important for us to remember this. Moving on to verse 26 and 27, it gives us one more example of what it means to be doing things. It says, "If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." When you read that word religious in the very first line, it says, "If anyone among you thinks he's religious," the word that is used over there is treskas. This is the only place in the Bible that word is used. And it literally means an outward appearance of religion. It talks to us about all the rituals, all the ceremonies, and all the stuff that we do outwardly to show people that we are religious. Think about a "I love Jesus" scarf. Think about "I love Jesus" tie. Think about a Catholic church, all that hoopla in the church. You know, when it's time and the church ends, the couple of young kids have to come and they put out their candles and all the hoopla that surrounds in the ceremony. And Protestant church is not exempt from this either. Okay, there's a lot of ceremonies and a lot of outward appearances, the robes and all of those things that we see in the church service. That's the word that is being used over here. If anyone among you who you think is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Why does he mention tongue? Tongue is not the only thing that we use to deceive people or to act sinful. Right, but the word of God says, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." See, it's about your heart. The Bible is always about your heart. It's not about the outward appearances. And I can give you so many verses on this. James is addressing here is our speech. And as I believe I mentioned to you last time that this particular people that he's writing to, they definitely had a problem with tongue. And we will explore more of it, right? Because here he mentions it. In verse 19, he mentions it. In chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, he talks about the tongue, you know. So if we do not control what we say, if we are putting this picture up of being religious, but we are not in control of our speech, what we say, how we say it, it reveals our heart. And that's the point over here. It's not so much the word. You know, it's believed that the average person speaks about 20,000 words in a day. You know, some people like me probably exceed that limit, but that's what an average person speaks. It says, "In your words there is life and death." So that's what James is speaking of over here. But deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And then he gives us an example in verse 27. It says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. So the first, he speaks to us about our speech, our own conduct, and then he speaks to us about service. How are you going to help the people? He speaks of love. He speaks of compassion. Right? What did Jesus say to his disciples? He says, they will know you by the love that you have for each other. Over and over again, what we read in the gospel is, if you love me, you are going to follow my commandments. In Old Testament, you go to Deuteronomy chapter 27. All of these places, what you will find is God telling the Israelites specifically that you need to take care of your orphans and your widows. That you need to have a ministry to those people. Because in those days, orphans and the widows, they were the lowest class. They had no means to survive, to live. They were so down in the social class. And so they were never thought of, especially when you look at the pagan cultures that were around the Israelites. God specifically told them that you need to take care of your orphans and your widows. There are two verses that I will read for you. This is what it says in Psalm chapter 68, verse 5. You should have this verse underlined in your script, in your Bibles. If you do that, it says Psalm 68, verse 5 says, a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. You see who God is? He's the father of fatherless. As we celebrate the Mother's Day, you know, there are some people who have lost their mother. There are people who perhaps never knew their mother. And you are sad today. And when it says a father of the fatherless, I would say that their father loves you. As much more than what a mother can love you, because Isaiah chapter 49 verse 16 says a mother may forget baby, feeding at her breast, but God will not forget you. This is the father we are speaking of here in Psalm. He is the defender of the widows. Look at what it says in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. It says, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in his place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. You see, God, the word of God is very clear about what our attitude should be, what our service should be toward the orphans and the widows. And that's just the starting point, right? Overall, it speaks to us about love and compassion. When we see a need, are we going to meet that need? When you come into the book of Acts, and if you look at chapter 6, chapter 7, very first ministry that the apostles had is to take care of the widows in the church. That was the very first ministry. And so here it says pure and undefiled religion. It's not the religion we learn on verse 26, just an outward appearance. What does your action speak? What are you actually doing? And not just doing it to get the applause or approval of the people who are watching you, but where is your heart? Right? That's where the tongue comes in. Where is your heart? Are you doing this? Are you doing this out of the goodness of your heart? Because you know what God has done for you, what God has blessed you with. This is what it is speaking of. And then the very last thing he says, he addresses the speech. He talks to us about service. Then what he says to us is, you need to separate yourself. You need to separate yourself. Right, that's what I kind of told you. Remember this when I was reading Nehemiah. Because of time, I don't want to go back there. But what did they do? They separated themselves from the foreigners and those people who were around them. Right? It says, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That doesn't mean that we don't live in the world. Yes, we live in the world. The word for the world here is cosmos. And what is speaking to us about is the system of the world, the philosophy of the world, the ways of the world, that we are to protect ourselves from there. The word unspotted is the exact same word used in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 when he speaks to us about Christ, our sacrifice, our lamb without blemish. That is the exact same word. And what James is saying, that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Do not be unequally yoked. We have spoken about this so many times. And so when we look at this, what is your reaction to the word? What is your reaction to the word? That's what determines your walk. Are you obedient to the word of God? And in closing, and there is so much to say, but in closing, what I will say is, in your time, read Romans chapter 7 look at verse 17. Verse 18, verse 19. And then look at Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Okay, talks to us about there. You know, Paul says, what a wretched man I am. What a wretched man. You know what? I'm going to take you there. Romans chapter 7, verse 17. Romans chapter 7. If you have to leave, I can understand. If you are able to stay, may God bless you with this word. Romans chapter 7, verse 17, he says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You see that? He says, but now it's no longer, because you are a changed man, you have come in the presence of the Lord. Okay, you have accepted him. It is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, it says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. See, he has a will to do. In his heart, he has a desire to do the right thing, but he's not performing. How many times we are at that place? We know what is the right thing to do. You know you are not supposed to say this. You know you are not supposed to be at this place. But yet, you are there. For the will is there. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. And then he goes on to say, verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do. Do you find yourself in that position? For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. See, the will is changed. Sometimes the action is not changed. And therefore, in the world, you know, chapter 8, the very first thing it says, for therefore there is no condemnation. But in verse 4, this is what he says. He says, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Be the doers of the word, not the hearers only. How do we do that? When we stop walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I have to give you this verse, you know, go to Psalm chapter 37, a verse that, you know, misused so many times, especially by the prosperity preachers, you know. But look what it says over there, and I'll start reading at verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. What does that mean? That means you have received the word. The word has penetrated your heart, and now there is faith. You are trusting in God, and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. You are living the Christian life. You have made that decision to be born again. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are feeding on his faithfulness. And look what verse 4 says over there. He says, delight yourself also in the Lord. You are doer of the word. That's what it means by delight yourself in the Lord. You are walking according to the word. You are living to please him. And then he says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The will that we talked about in Romans chapter 7, the will to do, right? Because a sinner, a natural man does not have a will to do good. The will to do good and to know what is right and what is wrong comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit. It comes by the making the decision that you are born again. That desire is put in us when you delight yourself in the Lord. Many times, what they will tell you is, you delight in the Lord and you will have the Mercedes and all the riches of the world. That's not the desire. God will put the desire to do the will of God. Walk according to the word of God. So as we close this Bible study, some of you might be saying to me that I fail so many times. Sometimes I say things that I shouldn't say. Sometimes I do what I shouldn't do. Sometimes I don't have the love and the compassion. Where I see a need, I have missed that opportunity to fulfill that need. Sometimes you think that you have walked according to the world, that you have resolved your problem. You have addressed the situation in your life with the philosophy of the world. Am I just the hearer? Is my walk with Christ a false one? And what I will say is, what is your reaction when that happens? That determines your relationship with Christ. If what you have done makes you happy and you want more of that, if you want more of the world, then you need to check yourself. But if it grieves your heart, there is a sorrow, there is a repentance, then you are on the right track, right? God does not ask for perfection. What he asks for is our reaction to our imperfection. Oh, Father, as we close this Bible study, Lord, I submit each and every person here into your hand, Lord. Lord, thank you for teaching us through the word today, Lord. Lord, if there is any among us who's just the hearer and not a doer, wake us up, Lord. Lord, if we do not have the same repentance in our heart because when we read your word, forgive us, Lord. Lord, help us to be grounded, rooted in your word, Lord. Let your word be the foundation of our spiritual life, Lord. Help us not to be the foolish man who heard your word, but he built his house on a sand. Help us to be a wise person, building our life, our spiritual life, on the rock, our rock, Jesus, the Word. I submit each and every person here into your hand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.